Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, into another edition of Slow Your Roll. I am Dominic Lorenzano, alongside writer for the Yaki Way Report, Jesse Caulfield, as always, giving you the show today. And I'm excited about this one, actually. Like, very excited. Oh. It's a random time of year to be excited, but I don't know. We did have... It's a perfect mixture of, like, we're getting into the start of the NFL season, but it's too early to make our, like, for sure I have to put my name on it predictions. So it's the fun time where we can play around with stuff.
I guess, yeah.
And then, you know, we got some funny news. Ja Morant, the NBA going real soft with that suspension, I thought. But, you know, whatever, you know, engage in illegal activity if you want. We got some big news as well, you know, the Bradley Beal trade and all that. And we got some interesting things going on in the baseball world. So, yeah. We're going to have some college football talk as well. So with that, though, I will turn it over to Jesse Caulfield to get us started. Take it away, Jesse.
Thank you. I mean, this could maybe backpack off my last one. I guess technically my last two ones, because I did the same one back to back because one was lost. But when I was talking last time about, like, how the Panthers and Golden Knights were good, getting to the finals was good for the NHL in the long run. Mm-hmm. Now, short term, we've seen the ramifications already. Viewership wasn't that great. Salary caps not even going to go up like $1 million. Almost a worthless change in salary cap. So the NHL is still poor. We're still poor people for the meantime. But, like, it's expanding, and it's been expanding for a while now. And then we have deals like, you know, the ESPN one and the TNT, you know. Mm-hmm. It's clear we're growing up. We're getting into different markets here. Mm-hmm. But we're not quite there yet. But some teams don't quite understand that. Mm. And I get it, you know. There's some great players out there, some generational talents. You want to pay them. You want to keep them. And people like Connor McDavid come to mind. Not the highest paid player in the league, but, like, he's one of them. Second, actually. And because of this, the teams that do dive in and give those 10-plus million-dollar average contracts, they're not – they can be contenders. Like, you know, Edmonton was in the playoffs. Colorado was in the playoffs, despite the fact that they've given out these exorbitant contracts. But, like, they never got anywhere. Mm-hmm. Highest paid player in the league is Nathan MacKinnon. He's making $12.6 million on average. First round exit to an expansion team. The second expansion team, the Kraken. Pathetic. And then, you know, the best player in the league, Connor McDavid making $12.5 million less. You know, at one point I thought, you know, maybe they had a shot because they brought in that defenseman. But you see in that second round against Vegas Golden Knights how little depth they had and how much that played in that second round, and as that second round went on, how just the depth of the Golden Knights overwhelmed the Edmonton Oilers, despite the fact having the best 1-2 punch in the league in Connor McDavid and a 13-goal scorer in, like, 10 games, Leon Draisaitl. Just doesn't fit. Artemi Panarin is the third highest paid, basically $12 million. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read all these numbers. Again, first round exit. They looked in and was like, oh, they brought in Patrick Kane. That's going to matter so much. They're going to go so far. Artemi Panarin is getting paid too much. And then it looks, you see that I do like the forward, the front defense depth, the top two, top four, but it falls way off. Why? Artemi Panarin's making just under $12 million. You know, the Bruins are about to be in that. They just paid Pastrnak. It didn't quite matter yet. He got the contract last year, but it's not going to apply till this year. He's going to make $11 million. This is kind of like the line. The $10 million is like the furthest you can go. Because the two teams that just made the Cup Finals, they had Eichel making $12 million exactly. So, like, that seems to be the line. And then Bobrovsky, a $10 million goaltender. That seems to be maybe the exception. If you're paying your goaltender an exorbitant amount of money, as long as he backs it up, you could maybe get it there and win. Because a couple years ago, Carey Price... what's his paycheck? It's massive. $10.5 million. So he's making 0.5 more than Bobrovsky. Made the finals a couple years ago. Stumbled in there because of an odd playoff scenario and matchups when it came to the playoffs, COVID and all that. So maybe that comes with an asterisk. But if your goalie is making an exorbitant amount of money, as long as he plays up to it, maybe this could happen. But if your forwards are making way too much money, well, then your bottom six usually sucks. I brought up the Rangers, and they brought in Patrick Kane. If you look at what the Blackhawks did, they kind of started this trend of making $10 million contracts, signing both Kane and Taves to $10 million plus dollar contracts on average in 2015. They were the dynasty. Everyone wanted to be the Blackhawks. You had to be, if you wanted to even contend, you had to be like the Blackhawks. Since that time, they have not even come close to a Stanley Cup final. Since those $10 million contracts. Now, as two, you can make, oh, well, it's two. If it's only one, maybe it's okay. Maybe. But since that time, they have made a couple playoffs. I don't even think they've gotten past the first round. And for the most part, they've been a mediocre team, middle of the road at best. And we see, like, these last couple, 2-3 years, once you're no longer worth that $10 million, your team is going to be garbage. And they've been garbage for 2 years now. And again, even when they had those $10 million contracts and were still really good, were at the top of their game, couldn't get past the first round anymore because you had to get rid of people like Patrick Sharp, Duncan Keith, which I know Duncan Keith was an absolute train wreck in the end. But that's Edmonton's problem now. But like this is the trend right now. Teams want these star players and throw these big money contracts at them, but then they don't win. The Leafs have several of them. They have three players in the top 10. What do we complain about constantly with that team? They have zero goaltending because they can't pay for it. They have zero defense that they can't pay for it and have no depth forwards. It's literally three guys. I mean, it's more than three guys. William Nylander is a pretty good player too, despite not making quite that money. But it's so much money tied into the top six that the bottom six is garbage. The defense core is pretty crap and you don't have consistent goaltending. This is what I'm talking about. Now, obviously, that's an extreme. You have three guys in the top 10 making over $10 million. Not the norm. But even these one-player teams, we will really see. Now, the Bruins have cap problems of their own and depth problems of their own. We'll see how much this David Pastrnak deal could really ruin them in the short term as opposed to maybe what it already was. So, that's my point here. I don't have like a lot of in-depth to go to. Well, but I mean, just the trend you're seeing right now.
We've talked about this with all the sports, and I've had a thing. Big splashes, when you do too many of them, usually drain the pool of all the water. Now, whether that means that you've traded too many pieces away to get the big splash, or the big splash is because you paid a guy all the money and now you don't have money to pay everybody else. But either way, this is a thing going on in all sports, I think.
Yeah, but it's so much easier to screw yourself over, I feel, in the NHL. One big contract.
Well, yeah, because you guys don't have enough money. The hockey just does not have the same money.
They don't have money.
They just don't have that kind of money. How much would the league save themselves if, like, the Coyotes just folded?
A lot. Like, $1 billion.
Well, why don't they just fold the Arizona Coyotes?
Well, because there's, like, I think it might have been a 20-year contract. Like, this.
That's so stupid.
Like, the NHL, like, has to keep them there. For like another, I think, 4 years.
That is so dumb. Anyway, back to the other thing, though.
As much as Arizona wants to kick them out, and NHL's like, well, we can't send them anywhere. We have a contract.
Oh, that's so bad.
But if they move somewhere, like, you know, maybe even if they don't make as much money, you'll just hemorrhage so much less just anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm sure. But we're seeing this in all the sports. I mean, listen, the Padres right now can't win anything.
Yes.
They've spent so much money. And it's not working out. Now, I know someone's going to counter and be like, well, what about the Rangers? Well, the Rangers weren't good last year. Do you know why they're good this year? Because they're getting contributions from the young kids that they called up. And their mid-level signings of Eovaldi and John Gray have been lights out.
Martin Perez as well.
Yeah, Martin. But didn't they sign him 2 years ago?
Yes.
This is his second year. So, yeah. But the mid-level signings have worked out, and they've brought up kids, and the kids are now producing and helping out the team. So, I mean, this is a problem you see across all sports. Honestly, in some ways, I feel like we've gotten to the point where football is maybe the only one that you'll still win and win a lot if you pay a big amount of money to people. And in football, you have to pay the right people. It's got to be – and not just by name and talent. It has to be by position. Yes. You can be an all-world talented linebacker or running back guy. And right now in the NFL, you shouldn't pay those guys big money. You got to pay a quarterback, a left tackle, wide receiver, corner, pass rusher.
Yeah, but it's also in the NFL, you can play with money in such bizarre ways.
That too.
Like, it's in the NHL. I mean, I don't think you're allowed to do this, but maybe you can play with it the way the NFL does. We're like, all right, you're going to make $5 million this year, but like, we're going to allocate $60 million just throughout your next couple years.
Yeah.
But in the NHL, it seems like You make
on the NFL, it's a lot of incentive-laden.
Sure. And not to say there isn't incentives in the NHL. There is. Not nearly.
You can also cut bait in the NFL, which you can't do in other sports the same way.
That's also true. You can just say, get out of camp. Sorry, yeah. You're not on this team anymore.
Yeah, and we don't have to pay you.
Yeah, and like in the NHL, like you have to, at least I'm pretty sure, if it's 4 years, this would be an exorbitant contract that the NHL is dreaming of. Let's say he has a $100 million contract for 4 years. That's easy math, 25 average.
Yeah.
They have to do that.
Yeah.
They have to have the same average in a year.
Yeah.
Like even in the MLB, like they'll usually front load it.
Yes, they will. They do.
And then they get all the money out of the way at first, and then, like, you know, there's incentives for either what are they called? Why can't I remember them? Options. Player yes. options.
There's player options and team options.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, because the lower money is, there's an incentive from the player to not take the option or to look for to work with the team to re-sign early.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that in the NHL. We don't have any of that.
No,
now, maybe the Players Association could help this out by having these things, by looking at the NFL, MLB, and NBA, look at how
Wait. No Players Association should ever look at the NFL for anything. That's the worst Players Association of all of them.
Well, just if you're willing to say, like, hey, you are guaranteed that money. You sign a contract, you're guaranteed every penny, unlike the NFL, but we can play with that money.
Okay.
Like the NFL. Like, all right, if you want to make less than $1 million this year, you can, but that just means the next 2 to 3 years of your contract are going to be exorbitant.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gives the team incentive, like, listen, we're going to be in cap hell in 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go for it hard right now by having everyone backload their contracts.
Yeah.
That would really help.
No, I understand what you mean.
NHL needs to be more willing to play with that money.
Yeah. That makes sense. All right. With that, we can move on quick to rapid fire news here. So Ja Morant has been given a 25-game suspension for next season. I for sure thought it was going to be significantly worse.
Ignore me.
But it wasn't.
Just playing with things.
No, I know. So D-Hop left his meeting in New England without an offer, but he does remain very interested. And I know the reports are he's waiting till like training camp probably to decide on where he wants to go anyway. So. In other news, Bradley Beal was traded to the Phoenix Suns. I'm not going to get into the details of everything about the deal. We'll also talk about how we feel about that deal. I know it's going to send Chris Paul to the Wizards. Now, I think they're probably going to buy him out of his contract and he'll go somewhere else eventually. But, you know, deals like money has to like match in the NBA for you to make a trade. So, also, the Red Sox, 6-0.
Hell yeah.
Since we last did the show. They are surging right now. One of the hottest teams in baseball.
Thanks, Yankees.
I know, right? Swept the Yankees over the weekend. They have scored 6 or more runs, by the way, in 5 of those 6 games. And also, Wyndham Clark has won the U.S. Open. That's all I have to say about that.
I don't think I know that one.
I mean, he beat out Rory McIlroy.
I know that one.
I'm pretty sure McIlroy finished second. I think they were close.
Ah.
But anyway, so with the Red Sox being red hot, one of the hottest teams in baseball, but there's another team in baseball that's just a bit hotter, and that is the Cincinnati Reds.
The slightly shorter name team.
The slightly shorter name. So the Reds have won 10 straight. They have sweeps over the Royals and Astros. Before that, they took 2 of 3 from the Cardinals. And, I mean, what can I say, man? They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, my dad pointed this out when we were talking about it. The pitchers who are the most talented, or I mean, not the most heralded prospects of the two, are the ones who aren't even pitching well right now. Ashcraft and I forget the other one. But
is it Green?
Isn't Green hurt, though?
Is he?
I think he's straight up hurt. I'm talking about purely performance. But, man, they've called up these kids. De La Cruz has hit the ground running. McClain, I love. I think McClain is probably the most polished hitter of all of them, the most ready to go right away. Now, he doesn't have the same ceiling as the other guys because he doesn't have the power. And then Spencer Steer has been just sensational as well. So, I mean, what do you make of this team right now? I have my own thoughts that I'm going to say after you do what you do. I know you were on them pretty early, actually.
Though.
I resisted at first, but I mean, I'll have more to say on it later, but we know this division is bad. So, yes. I mean, what are your thoughts here on this? How real is this? Are they your new favorites for this division that's so bad that nobody wants to win? Like,
I don't know if I'm there yet.
Oh, really? I thought...
Because...
I'm surprised. I thought you would be.
I want to be, but I'm cautiously optimistic because this is kind of one of those things where, like, they're probably just high on life right now. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, the kid's here and he's performing already.
Yeah.
Like, let's all jump on this bandwagon. We're feeling good. Joey Votto just came back. Mm-hmm. Our leader... In some ways not so.
I think he seems energized right now. I think he's happy though.
Well, I mean, you know, he's on a good team.
Yeah, he came back to an exciting team.
Yeah, you know, he's, you know, coming off an injury. That's always got to like revamp you.
Yeah.
Because he missed the end of last season and the beginning of this season. You know, he's probably just feeling young again with all the kids running around, that type of stuff. And you know, reason to feel good because yeah, the division is. Terrible.
Yeah, the only division that's worse is the AL Central.
But, like, you're still in this 10-game streak. You beat kind of bad teams.
Yeah.
And the best team you did beat, the Astros, is not quite as good this year. Missing their best offensive player in Yordan Alvarez. Mm-hmm. Down 3-0 right now to Colorado, which is sad. But actually, I mean, during this time, I have some stats here. They have gotten 10 hits, at least 10 hits, in... 6 of the 10 games. Mm-hmm. They've scored 63 runs in this time. Like, you know, it's kind of one of those things. One reason why I'm not quite on that bandwagon yet is like, these aren't maintainable numbers here.
Yeah.
It's high on life numbers. They're playing good. People haven't quite figured out the young kids yet. I still think they might really contend for this division here because, like, the second anyone has the lead, they decide to start losing, whether it be the Brewers, Pirates, or. I think even the Cubs had the lead at one point.
Yeah, they did.
So, like, everyone's getting their turn.
Yeah, Cubs are playing well again, too. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
I did see that, actually. So, yeah, this is a division where everyone's getting their turn except the Cardinals. And it's just, like, everyone's having their hot streak.
The Cardinals' turn is coming.
At perfect times. So, I'm feeling... You got to feel good if you're a Reds fan, and the future is bright.
Yeah, you definitely got to feel good about the future.
I just don't know if now is it. But then again, with the division being that weak, like, why not? And they got a feel. They probably have that feeling of why not us.
That's exactly what I'm thinking too, in a sense. But like at the end of the day, if you came to me and said, "Hey, I have $100. Who should I put it on for this division?" I'd be like, I don't know. Come on, the Pirates are on their way in the cellar right now.
Listen, that's
they've
what
lost 9 straight.
They lose 9 straight. They win 10 straight. They lose 9 straight. They'll win 10 straight again.
No, they're done. I told you, penthouse to the crack house for that team.
Back to the penthouse.
Nope, they're staying in the crack house.
Listen, they've been in first place multiple times.
It's not happening. But so like there is that where it's just like this division's so bad, somebody has to win it at some point. And I don't believe in the Brewers. They don't score enough runs. Mm. They have one of the worst run differentials of almost anyone in that division, actually.
Don't the Cubs have the only one with a plus run differential in that division?
I believe that is true, yes. The Cardinals for a while actually had a plus run differential, though. But their last losing streak was pretty bad, and they lost some big ones, so that might not be plus anymore. But actually, you're bringing it up right now, so tell me.
All right, I'm going to go in order.
Oh, okay.
First place, Cincinnati, minus 16. Second place, Milwaukee, minus 22. Third place, Chicago, plus 21.
Okay.
Fourth place, Pittsburgh, minus 36. Minus 30. And then St. Louis is minus 7 in last place.
So I was right, though. The Cardinals had a plus one not that long ago.
Yeah.
For sure.
Probably before that last losing streak, like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, they've won 3 straight now. So
4 straight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they won 4 straight, but they're 4-6 in their last 10. So, like,
listen, no one wants to win this division, man.
Streakiest division
the
I've
only
ever
thing
seen.
That, so, like, here's the thing with the Reds one. You said they're minus 16, but the thing that you can put on Cincy that you can't put on the other teams is, like, this is a very different team than what they started with because a bunch of these people got called up. You know what I mean? Like, this is a very different lineup than what they opened the season with.
And also, I mean, in terms of sports, you know, ignorance is not a good thing. But I think in sports, it's one of the places where it can really actually work out for you.
Oh, by the way, this is why if you're a gambler, week one NFL betting is like some of the best one. That's where you make a ton of money because everybody picks the favorites all the time, the dumb people. But you don't realize that because there isn't enough practice, so there hasn't been enough time for the good teams to separate. You know what I mean? And because half the time you're playing division winners, I mean, you're playing in divisional matchups, so the teams know each other. And bad teams don't know they're bad yet. So, no, you're exactly right on that kind of stuff. Ignorance in sports sometimes, especially if you shouldn't be where you are, great thing.
Yeah. And if you're a young kid, you don't know what it takes to get to that, like, you know, to get to be a contender, what it takes to, you know, be a real playoff team. You just don't know that yet. You're not there yet. And it's like, well, we're doing good here. We must have the mojo. We must have it. So, like, we got it. We don't, and, you know, you don't know what it takes yet. So you don't know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And if it's just working out, you keep with it.
Exactly. But in the end, I would still say I'm not quite on the bandwagon completely yet, just like you. The kids are hot right now. They are hot and they're good. And man, if you're a Reds fan, you should be happy because the future is so bright. Just add a few pieces over the next 2 years. Division doesn't look very good. And I don't see a reason why it's going to be very good going forward. Cubs have some young talent, but still. But as hot as the kids are right now, baseball is a game of adjustments. And so, like, the league's going to figure out some of these kids, and then they're going to have to adjust. So you see it all the time. Kids are usually pretty streaky. So as hot as they are right now, they can go on the other end and go just as cold.
Yeah.
And it can happen fast. So I'd probably still lean towards the Brewers. I still even wouldn't even throw out the Cardinals yet. I wouldn't, man. It's only eight. Listen, if you can play that bad and still be within striking distance, I mean, the correction has to come at some point.
Yeah, but
the Cubs have at least more proven and senior leadership than the Reds do as well. So you could debate with me that maybe Chicago you could put money on before the Reds. But, I mean, right now, when you look at it, the Reds might have the highest ceiling of anybody in that division. But, yeah, I mean, I just think the kids are hot right now, and the kids will go, a lot of them will go just as ice cold as they'll go as hot as they are right now. So that's my opinion on that. But like I said, someone's got to win this division at some point, and we have no idea who it's going to be.
Jonathan India is having a fantastic year.
He is.
I don't think he'll cool off.
No,
he's
no.
He's been consistently the man.
Yes.
Power numbers are up. Everything's up.
Mm-hmm.
You love to see it.
Yeah. And it's a really tough park to pitch in, too. That always drains a pitching staff for Cincinnati, though, as well.
Also, one last thing. Reds fans, like, you know, we said, like, oh, reason to be excited about the future. I'm going to have a opening about this at one point, but Jonathan India is going to be the odd man out in a couple of years because of all the infield prospects, high-end prospects they have coming up.
Oh, who, like McLean, De La Cruz.
I think there's one more, too.
I know there is.
But, like, they're all second basemen.
I know.
And India can't play second. But, I mean, he's okay.
Yeah.
He's a little like, you know, he's kind of in that Xander Bogaerts realm of like, he's not that great at it, but he's not a liability. In the next couple of years, he'll be the odd man out. But if he's going to play this well, like he's going to either get a nice price tag for when you do get him, or he's going to play so well that you can't replace him. So you don't. And that's only a good thing.
Yeah.
Or you'll make him learn first base. Make someone learn first base.
Yeah. I think who's like, the most likely you think to like go into a terrible slump,
like on that team?
Yeah, right now. I think it's De La Cruz.
Yeah,
he is wildly talented, highest ceiling of all of them. And I think he's going to be outstanding, but he does, you know, he has a swing a little bit like a wild child and plays it wild. And yeah, I think McLean is the least likely. I think McLean. If you watch his ABs, he seems like he's like a 10-year vet already.
Mm.
And steers somewhere in the middle. But like De La Cruz is the one that I do think at some point is probably going to go through an extended, pretty brutal slump.
I don't know. That's hard. That's really hard.
Mm.
I'm just trying to look at all their stats.
And I also still think they're pitching, though they have some young, talented guys. They're not... The ones who are performing right now, they're not the elite prospects that the position players are. So I kind of still feel like their pitching is still a lot of duct tape.
How happy are you about Friedel? Is that how you pronounce it, Friedel?
He's got pretty good stuff. I do like him.
But, like, was anyone that high about him coming over? He's only 27.
He is 20. Like, he's older. Like, that's kind of old at that point.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, you know.
Well, that's just what I mean. Their pitching, to me, is kind of still duct tape a little bit. Unless the high-end kids who have been pretty atrocious so far do suddenly figure out, then this is a different conversation. But
I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, you know, it's safe bet was probably De La Cruz. Because, yeah, you're right. He is kind of a, you know, he's not, when you look at him at bat, I was like, I wouldn't really teach any of this, but it's kind of, it's working out, so I'm not going to complain.
Not yet. And listen, this is how it goes for everyone. You always have to make adjustments. And that's that's why you see kids who come in and have sensational starts and then they never pan out to be anything else because they just weren't good enough to make those adjustments. Michael Chavis comes to mind.
I also think, like, the sophomore slump is the worst in baseball.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because this, the second year is them just learning how to hit again, basically, because all the pitchers now have film on them. They all have scouting reports on them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and they will just, the minute they find a weakness.
That's what I mean.
They will just pound that all day.
That's what I mean. And everyone.
I mean, remember when the league figured out Chavis a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There were at-bats where he would just get three straight high fastballs.
That's what happened.
We're not going
to
throw anything else.
Isn't that what happened to, I can't remember his first name, Pena on the Rays? First baseman?
Oh, Carlos?
Carlos Pena.
I mean, he still ended up having a decent
NL. No, he had a good career, but at some point.
MLB career, yeah.
They were just like, high fastballs.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I can't do that.
Yeah, no.
I know. He was a good power hitter. He had good years, but, like, you know, once they figured out that, like, high cheese, he likes it but can't hit it.
Yeah.
Why would we throw anywhere else?
Exactly.
And, you know, by the time they figured it out, he was kind of older, and the adjustments are harder at that point.
Yes.
You're so much muscle memory, so much stuck in your ways. Mm-hmm. I've done it this way my whole life. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
All right. With that, though, we can take our first break, and we come back. We're going to do a little bit more baseball talk, and then we'll move on to probably my favorite segment of the show. Every year, six new teams, minimum, in the NFL. We're going to try and go through and decide who we're going to take out, who we're going to put in. So stick with us, guys.
All right, we're back. Let's talk the Yankees. We love to talk the Yankees for many reasons. We love to crap on them. But this one's a little different. So I had this idea the other day of, like, maybe it's not about the Yankees, but the Yankees are the best example. Throughout sports, we always have a villain. Mm-hmm. And then it keeps us watching. And I think, like, how important is the Yankees to the MLB? Mm. And they're like, oh, like, numbers are up this year, and I know that has a lot to do with the new rules changes and, you know, it being a shorter game and a faster game, it's a lot easier for a rando to watch. But still, like, the past couple of years, I'm still interested in the MLB, but my interest goes down with how bad the Yankees are, and I can't help but notice that. I'm not a Yankee fan. I love when they lose, but at the same time, I want the villain there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's always got to be somebody. Like, if you look at the NFL, man, did they love to plaster Brady as the villain. Everyone would watch him because of it. I want to watch him lose. I want to watch him fail, blah, blah, blah. Would never happen. It would keep people watching. And, like, I think the MLB, the Yankees could be dog crap. Absolutely terrible. 100-loss team. Giving the A's and Royals a run for their money. And I'm sure the MLB will still make plenty of money. Teams will still be watched. Like, obviously, like, what the hell do the Yankees have to do with people wanting to watch the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Texas Rangers? Mm-hmm. Nothing. But we all think day in and day out, I'll admit it, the Yankees live rent-free in all of our heads. We don't like to say that, but they do. We think there, we want, everyone wanted to be the Yankees, wanted to be better than the Yankees. That was our MO as Red Sox fans. In the 90s, early 2000s, we needed to be the Yankees. We needed to act like them, think like them, get players like them. Just spend all the money. It doesn't matter. And that just drives you. It drives to be like that villain, that team. And that's what I mean. Obviously, again, the Yankees could be dog crap. And they will, the league will live on. But having this villain, and the Yankees have been the perfect villain since 1918, basically, 27 world championships. And also, actually, this here's a fun stat. Only professional team in America that has a winning record against all of their opponents.
Wow.
No NFL team has that. No NHL team. No NBA team. The Yankees are the one team in sports. And they are probably the best villain in sports.
For sure. I think for sure.
And that's what makes a great movie? A good antagonist. What makes the great story? Overcoming incredible odds. And, you know, since Steinbrenner died, we haven't quite had that. The Yankees aren't that big contender anymore. They aren't that huge spender anymore. They're not that big, scary team that we're all don't want to face but want to be, that type of stuff. And, like, do sports need someone like that? Not necessarily the Yankees, but do they need a team like that just throughout? Do sports need a team like that?
I think they...
They definitely make the league money.
I don't,
to say the league will be nothing without them is not true, but...
I don't know if football does, because football has just separated. Because
it's just a cult and we watch it.
Yeah, and because of legalized gambling. That's a huge part of why the NFL is separated. It's one of the easier ones to bet on, right? Because there's only so many games.
Yeah.
And there's so much parity in the NFL, so it becomes the one that is the easiest and most lucrative to bet on. It's hard to bet regular season baseball. You can't bet regular season baseball. Like, that's rough. Basketball's kind of the same, especially now, too, because you just look up and you're like, wait a minute, why is half my team sitting tonight for basketball?
Yeah.
Load management. So that's one of the big reasons the NFL has just separated like that. So I don't think the NFL...
firearm suspensions.
That, too. But I don't, so that's why the NFL is different. The NFL doesn't quite need that, but I do get what you mean. I think basketball misses the Lakers. For sure, I think basketball misses the Lakers. They'd be so desperate to get the Lakers back. And baseball's having a renaissance this year, so clearly they don't completely need the Yankees, but I do get your point, maybe from a national attention perspective. For it to get talked about when you go and put on ESPN, right? For that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You do need the Yankees. You need that antagonist. So I think you got a point here.
And like, well, if you look at this NHL finals, you have a very small market hockey team and a Southern Florida team. And although it's worked out grand, it's still a warm climate team in the Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. And then ratings were way down. Mm-hmm. If you just had, could have been either of those teams in there. But if you just had either a Bruins in the East or say maybe. Colorado's not, I mean, not the best, but maybe like a Colorado, a villain for them to face. Would you? Because I'm personally as a.
What about the Canadians?
Well, that'd
that's
be
not that, a villain.
That's an East, like the Montreal Canadiens. You mean?
Oh, okay.
That's an East. That's what I was looking for, like a Western, maybe villain, but just a bigger market team to face one of the small market teams in the final.
Mm-hmm.
That would have, I guarantee, no doubt, would have saved the ratings crisis the NHL had in the final.
Okay,
because
for
sure, because there's a villain there. There's someone like I've said this multiple times. I love to root. If it's not my team, I love to root for that team that never wins, hasn't been there in a long time, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So if you, and I get to the average fan, the low level fan, the fair weather fan, they just want to watch the best. Mm-hmm. And I get that. So you kind of need that villain there. Mm-hmm. That team that like, all right, everyone just wants to watch lose or just has the best players, whatever. Again, that's why Brady just, what was that? He's the only guy. He was like the highest selling jersey in all 50 states at one point.
Yes.
Was the highest selling jersey season after season after season in America. Because we watched that man. And even though he got the most hate in the world, he still, everyone would follow him.
Yeah.
Because people like a villain.
LeBron's the same way, too.
No, yeah.
Like for sure, but LeBron is the same way.
People watch LeBron because they want to see him lose.
A lot of people, yeah.
And but he keeps going, you know, next round, next round, next round, and people just keep watching. Come on, lose, 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 lose. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, he does now, but
well, technically,
he didn't used to.
He's technically not a winner. He actually, you know, he's only won a couple and lost like six finals. So like,
you're proving your point right there with that comment. You hater.
I don't like LeBron.
I know.
But he's not.
I don't like him either. I just thought it was funny that
he's not quite that winning villain that like maybe the Lakers were or the Yankees were or Tom Brady
was. He kind of was. He was always there.
Yes.
Yes, I know. Then the Golden State came along and then he started to lose quite a bit. But still. Especially when he went to Miami and that was like the first big super team. And he had bailed on Cleveland when he said he wouldn't do. Like they were called the Miami Heels.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No, I never heard them called that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, do your thing, get that ready. I'm going to talk. Okay. I'm going to take out the antagonist part and just talk about the Yankees, too, just because I have some thoughts. I mean, I don't think Unfortunately, I don't think the MLB has a way out of this. I don't know. Do you think the Yankees are a playoff team this year? Because I kind of don't.
It's if they were in any other division, yeah, I kind of think so.
Well, yeah, but they're in the AL East.
But no.
I mean, they are. They're
the situation they find themselves in.
They find themselves, I think it was like the 2013 season when they just got really old. They kind of feel like they're in that space now. They're incredibly reliant on just Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole. They were really reliant on Judge last year. Just Judge played the whole season, which historically he wasn't really able to do much. And this year he's already been hurt twice. And, I mean, the offense has gone way down. The Yankees have scored the fewest amount of runs of anyone in the AL East. So they're way too reliant on Judge and Cole. I don't see another gear for this team. I kind of don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
No, I mean, they're kind of just a bunch of disappointments.
And the West,
for one reason or another.
The West teams are better than we thought. I mean, the Angels are playing pretty well. And they've stayed playing at a decent level.
Yeah.
So
desperate to keep Ohtani.
Yeah.
That's what their season's about.
I mean, I wouldn't not agree. I think that's for sure what a lot of it is. But it's still worth noting. Maybe they sneak into that last spot, but... Yeah, this team is just, they're way too reliant on one or two people. The Anthony Volpe kid's not really ready yet to consistently hit at a major league level.
Yeah.
Donaldson's cooked. Rizzo may be cooked by the end of the season. I know he started really well, but he's cooled off.
Yes.
DJ LeMahieu looks cooked.
Yeah. Gleyber Torres is
average. Gleyber's average.
He's having a better year.
He is, okay, fine, you're
right.
And
he's had.
You're right.
But no, this is a
Gleyber is slightly above average, but he's not nearly good enough to carry a team.
No, this is a bunch of team of disappointments. Because Gleyber, meaning, I guess, the baseball crowd, not me personally. People were hype about Gleyber Torres at one point. Look at this stud shortstop. Yankee fans were jumping ahead like, this is going to be the best shortstop in baseball. Mm-hmm. And I laughed at that. I thought that was silly. But like, he's not even close at this point. But yeah, I mean, like the Carlos Rodon thing is hugely disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not personally. He means nothing to me, but that's what I mean. It's just like so many guys for one reason or another are not playing up to their potential, are becoming busts when they put on the pinstripes, or just aren't worth the exorbitant contracts for one reason or another that they're signing because they can't stay healthy or they just don't live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Giancarlo Stanton's another one. Has he been healthy for like 100 games in a single season?
I don't know.
That he's been on
even
a Yankee?
It doesn't matter, though. He's not helpful in any way.
He strikes out way too much.
He is bad, dude.
Yeah.
I remember that was one of the funnier ones. And listen, I'm not trying to – listen, we've all had dumb takes, but that was one of the ones I felt just some of the most vindicated I've ever felt before when it was between JD and Giancarlo coming here and Felger and Maz. I think it was Felger who was talking about – who is JD Martinez? Oh, he only ever did it for a couple of months in Arizona. Oh, Giancarlo's the guaranteed.
He was only there for a couple of months in Arizona.
Giancarlo's the guaranteed guy, you know. No one knows who JD. And I was just thinking that the whole time. I've seen them both hit. Giancarlo is a guess hitter who's just a freak of nature size-wise. JD is one of the most cerebral professional hitters you'll ever see.
He was great for the Tigers.
Who, JD?
Yeah.
No, I know he was.
It is don't watch any other baseball.
No, I know. That's why it was the most Boston take of all time. I'll worry about that later.
I wonder what you were doing.
I was going to think of trying to take a small segment of this big one that we're taking, but hey.
Oh.
With that, moving on. So like
actually, hold on. I need to take a picture. You're getting a spoiler of my picks here. Oh. I want to make sure I know what they are.
Yeah, you do your thing. You make your picks.
All right, we're back.
Anyway, so moving on. So no matter what you think, every year in the NFL, there's always a minimum at least of 6 new playoff teams. A lot of times there's even 7.
Did you want me to hit the button for all
that? Yeah, you probably should have, but it's okay. So every year in the NFL, minimum 6 new playoff teams. A lot of times there's 7. And this becomes such a hard exercise. I've been doing this all week with people who are sports fans, who I see in my everyday life, it is so hard. And by the time you get to that 5th or 6th, it has to be a shocker. And every year there is a shocker. I mean, last year, the Rams were the shocker. They weren't even good. The other year, and also the Colts were a bit of a shocker. Not that we thought the Colts were Super Bowl contenders, but they thought division sucks. and they're good enough that they should win their division.
Seahawks
going away. Shocker. Yeah, but I was talking about like bad teams that you like you couldn't imagine not being good, and then they fell out.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So anyway, so we're going to do that. We're going to go through this right now. We're going to try and pick who the six new NFL playoff teams are going to be. The way too early predictions on this. By the way, this is not a betting segment, guys. If we don't say, make the bets, do not bet anything we are saying on this. Do not. It's a very hard exercise. But
or do. Tell us how much money you lose.
Yeah, right? If we're not strictly saying it's a betting segment, don't follow the advice. So anyway, I'll start in the AFC, which I think is the harder of the two. So last year, the Bills, Dolphins, Jaguars, Bengals, Ravens, Chiefs, and Chargers all made the playoffs. Now, for a while, I was thinking about going four in the NFC and only two in the AFC. But the AFC, they got ones that you could think are really on the line. And we'll start with the ones that I don't think are on the line. So I have the Chiefs and the Chargers still making the playoffs. I could see the Chargers. Chargers are one of those teams on the line, though. I don't like Staley. I like Kellen Moore, so maybe that's good enough. But I have the Chiefs and the Chargers staying in. I take the Ravens out. I put the Steelers in. And here's why. Steelers won six of their last seven games. They held in those seven games, they held their opponents to under 20 points. Kenny Pickett was a rookie. He didn't play to start the year. They were atrocious offensively when Kenny Pickett didn't play. He started to play better and better. He had multiple come-from-behind victories. And TJ Watt missed significant time last year, but for the most part in his NFL career, he's the one who stayed pretty healthy. I think it is 8-2 in the games he played last year, 17-7 in the games that he plays overall. They upgraded the offensive line, and we know that they always do offensive weapons well, and George Pickens looked great last year. So Pickett takes the next step. I get Mike Tomlin. I get that culture, that elite defense. I think they're good enough that they make it. For the Ravens, their best players get hurt all the time. Like, oh, we brought in OBJ. Why, is he going to stay healthy the whole season? Also, is OBJ even the kind of guy Lamar is going to work with? Lamar didn't work that great with Marquise Brown. To me, OBJ and Marquise Brown aren't that different.
Yes, but I never saw them in the club together. I've seen him and OBJ in the club together already.
Oh yeah, so that means they're going to work. Okay, cool. Yes. Well, they can work for the first 6 weeks, and then someone's going to get hurt.
Someone's knee will.
Andrews dealt with injuries last year. Their corners and their defense has been really bad sometimes, and part of it's injuries. But again, I don't trust the Ravens to stay healthy enough anyway. I think the Steelers are surging. I think the Ravens injury prone and a bit of a dramatic offseason. So that's the first one. Keep the Bengals and the Jaguars in, and then here's where it's going to start to get shocking. I take the Miami Dolphins out. Now, I love that they added Vic Fangio. I think the Dolphins would have a chance to win this division. I just can't see Tua staying healthy. And like maybe if they had an elite backup, this would be a different conversation. But I can't see him staying healthy. And it's a tough division, too tough for that. I love Vic Fangio. I think this team should win that division, but I don't trust Tua staying healthy. I think if Tua played 14, 15 games, I might pick the Dolphins to win the division. I just don't think he can.
I don't know if I've ever heard the phrase elite backup.
You know what I mean. Yeah. You know what I mean, though. If they could go with Gardner Minshew or something like that.
That's an elite backup.
It is. It is an elite backup.
Anyone's an elite backup, it's him.
Yeah, exactly. So I take the Dolphins out. I put the Broncos in.
Oh.
I like what I'm seeing. I think Hackett was just not a head coach at all. The defense was young, so it should be every bit as good. You bring in Sean Payton. Sean Payton has had a lot of time to see what went wrong and a lot of time to try and fix it. Now, there's a bunch of teams I have on the bubble here, and this is where it's getting hard. For now, we'll put the Broncos in. And then the last one, the shocker in the AFC. I have the Jets in and the Buffalo Bills not making the playoffs. I saw Sean McDermott get badly outcoached multiple times last year. You know what they're starting to remind me of? They're starting to remind me of some of the final years with Le'Veon Bell and AB when the Steelers were easily the second most talented team in the AFC. But the NFL is still a coaching, scheme, culture sport. We all see great talent get wasted all the time. Just 1 year without Brian Daboll, the offense looks directionless. They've never figured out the offensive line. They have a weird lack of commitment to the run game. and your most reliable wide receiver, and kind of your only truly day in and day out reliable wide receiver, is now unhappy. I feel like their offense seems directionless. They bring in Ken Dorsey to be the OC. He's a bounce around the league guy. I don't like McDermott at this point. I've seen him outcoached too many times. He's on the wrong side of the ball in this day and age of the NFL, and they just seem scheme-wise, they're trending in the wrong direction, and they seem directionless. So that's my shocker. As of right now, I have, like I said, there's one or two shockers every year. You get to this sixth team, you're going to have to pick one. I have the Bills not making the playoffs. I have the Jets in. So I'll let you do your AFC and then react to me.
So we're doing it. You did a little different than I thought we might.
Okay.
But the first one, the Steelers, yes. Yes.
You have them in?
Yes. I feel like that was kind of the slam dunk, the obvious one, the easy one. And yeah, I probably have them replacing the Ravens.
Okay.
I know I didn't really do it like, oh, this team's going to replace that team. This team's going to be that seed. Just kind of like, all right, this team might be on the way out and this team could take their place type of thing.
I'm not saying like specifically they take this team, but like you to put six in, you have to take six out. So who are you taking out, you know?
Ravens, Steelers. Okay. You explained that.
Okay.
So my another one. So again, I'm not really specifically taking anyone out, but I think the Titans could be a good team to maybe get a wild card. Now, that might be a little bit shocking, that quarterback situation, the wide receiver situation. Yes, and Tannehill will be another year older and another year washed up. But, like, I think he's been washed up for a little while now. And yet they still have been competing because Mike Vrabel gets those men to run through a brick wall regardless of their condition. And they were in position to take that division at the end of the year and almost did if they didn't get all these injuries. Do I think they'll really I think the Jaguars will still win that division, but I think the Titans could maybe sneak in because I don't trust the Chargers and I don't trust the Dolphins. I really don't.
I don't trust them either.
Whether it be to stay healthy or some
just get
some
it right
coaching shenanigans.
I like in the Chargers case, just get it right.
Yeah, and I think the Titans will take one of their place.
Okay.
And then the other team who will get their place taken, either, again, Dolphins, Chargers. This will be a little bit shocking. I think the Bills will still win the division.
Okay.
But the Patriots will take, I guess, the Dolphins' place.
Wow.
Patriots, not the Jets.
Okay.
Because I still think they're going to jet. Aaron Rodgers, again, should make that team a decently ways better, but not any less toxic.
Okay.
I think that'll be a problem. I really do. The Patriots, not even if they get Hopkins, that offense should take a real step forward.
Their schedule,
no reason why it shouldn't.
Their schedule is so hard, dude.
I don't care.
Okay.
Because one of the reasons why it's hard is because of the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins. And I think two of those three will probably take a real step back.
Okay.
Dolphins, Bills. Jets could take a real step forward, but I just don't think it's going to be that step forward. I mean, I think it is. Maybe they'll split that and go 1-1 against each other. But also, like week one against the Eagles, I know they were just in the Super Bowl, but again, I'm not that high about the Eagles still.
Wow.
They stumbled into that Super Bowl. They didn't even play a quarterback in the NFC Championship game. We said the entire season, this team's good, but isn't that great? I still feel that way.
Okay.
So those are my AFC teams.
So you
Steelers are the obvious one. Titans is kind of like that. Ooh, look out for them. And the Patriots are like, hey, Lan, just don't doubt it.
Okay. Do you have any arguing with mine? Do you see my point on the Bills?
Well, yes, we all think they're going to take a real step back, but like I don't see the Jets taking that.
I know it's a dramatic step back.
The Jets taking that leap forward as well. It's a lot to ask for the New York Jets.
It is. It is a lot to ask for the New York Jets. But I, you know, you just get such a, when you get to leave a job that you're just done with and you get to a new place, you get that such a new spark of energy.
You
do. I feel like Aaron's been 1 foot out, 1 foot in for a while. I think he'll be all in this year.
We'll see.
I mean, I'm not saying they're making the Super Bowl. I don't even think they'll make the AFC Championship. But I don't trust the Dolphins to stay healthy. I don't think the Pats are talented enough, and they have the worst schedule. And then I just don't like what's going on in Buffalo. So
no, I definitely don't like what's going on in Buffalo. But I kind of – a healthy Josh Allen will just win you some games.
I get you. All right, do you want to break it up? You can start the NFC one.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, I'll start with –
well, list out for everyone. List out the teams that made it last year.
Okay. Number one seed was the Eagles, winner of the East. Second seed was the 49ers, winner of the West. Third seed was the Vikings, winner of the North. And then the Southern winners were the Buccaneers. It was Cowboys, Giants, and Seahawks were the wildcard teams in that order.
Mm-hmm.
First team that's not going to make it, I feel like, is the obvious one. The NFC South winners, mm-hmm. the Buccaneers, are not going to smell the playoffs.
Oh, that's the easiest one maybe of all time.
So who will take that division? I pick the Falcons.
What?
Yes.
You and my brother are on the same train on that.
Listen.
Wow, you're like the only people I know on this.
Well, yeah. Was it going to be the Saints?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Was it going to be the Panthers?
I would pick Carolina before the Falcons. I have Carolina battling for a playoff spot till the end.
I'll get to my rest of the NFC in a minute.
Okay.
But the Falcons will take this division.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
bet on it.
Defense is awful.
That's not so what?
All right, go. Continue.
Defenses are awful this day and age. Listen, the Falcons have been on the up and up. They were better than I thought last year. Maybe if Desmond Ridder can take a real step. He doesn't have to be. He doesn't even have to be that great. Just don't be bad, and you can win this bad division. The running game was fantastic last year. Maybe find a wide receiver that doesn't gamble and can play healthy and whatnot. And I think you can have. Listen, this division is wide open.
I know.
Bucks are awful. Again, Panthers have a decent personnel.
I know, it's a rookie quarterback.
And who are their wide receivers? Old Adam Thielen?
True.
Did they draft one?
I forget if they drafted
one. I don't remember.
They probably did.
And then the Saints are Derek Carr. Michael Thomas, if he decides to play. We'll see.
I mean, I have serious questions about their head coach, Dennis Allen. That is true.
Where will Kamara be? I don't know. I feel like the team that is just the most like, well, why not, is the Falcons.
Okay.
There's so much, I think, going against the Saints.
You know, listen, while I put it, continue with the rest of your NFC.
All right. Let me just
There's one. You got the Falcons in, and you had the Bucks out.
All right. Now you have this division ending up a little different than me. I just, for the sake of keeping it simple, when I picked my teams, I generally kept the division wins the same. If I thought, all right, that could be a playoff team, you can keep the division type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the Vikings technically still winning their division, but I think the Lions are going to take that wild card spot from probably against the Cowboys.
Okay.
And I think they'll be a wild card team. You know, maybe they could win the division, but it's not really about that right now.
Okay.
The Lions were very hot at the end of the year. They love playing for Dan Campbell. They love big games. You saw that by that last game of the season against the Packers, just trying to ruin their season.
Mm-hmm.
This team is ready. Now, ready to be a contender? No, I wouldn't quite say that. That defense was still a lot better at the end of the season. I still have a lot of questions about it, you know. But I think they're ready.
I'm more hyped on the Lions even than you, then.
I think they're really ready to take that next step to be a real playoff team, maybe even win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine that? But it's the Lions' time, so to speak. Whether they're contender or not, I don't know. But it's their time to make the playoffs, make a splash, so to speak.
And you've taken the Cowboys out.
Yes.
Okay.
Because then the next team I'm taking out is the Giants.
Yep.
Because, like, man, Dable was fun. Dable was so much fun.
Yes.
I enjoyed watching. I found myself a Patriots fan enjoying watching Giants win games, which is strange. But it's not going to happen again. That was kind of a fluke. Take advantage of a bad division. I guess they're technically the best division in that.
And a bad schedule because they were a last-place team the year before.
In a god-awful conference.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Panthers.
Okay.
I had to pick somebody, and I was like, listen, the Panthers have personnel in places. Mm-hmm. You're right. The running game is pretty dynamic, and that really helps a young quarterback. Now a very small quarterback at that. Maybe very fragile, but if you can stay healthy.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those why nots. You had to pick someone, and I'm not picking Derek Carr.
All right. So for me, obviously, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Vikings, Bucks, Seahawks, Niners, those are all the teams last year who were in. I take the Cowboys out just like you. I put the Rams in, though. The NFC, it's not quarterbacked well. It's weak. We got Sean McVay, who got the best out of Baker Mayfield. He still remains an elite head coach. Matt Stafford came in the last year with elbow problems. He should be healthier from the start. this year. They still have Cooper Kupp. They're going to have a whole year to work through the O-line problems that they opened the year with last year. So that should at least get better. And like I said, it's just a bad quarterback to NFC. So I trust Matt Stafford and Sean McVay to figure it out enough that the Rams make the playoffs. Probably going to have them as a wild card. I didn't go in depth about who's division winner, who's wild card that much with this, but I take the Cowboys out. I don't like that Mike McCarthy has taken over play calling duties. They've been cap hell for a while, so the last 2 years they continue to lose pieces. They're extremely thin at the wide receiver position. CeeDee Lamb is great, but when Lamb goes down, it's like, what else do they have? Isn't Dalton Schultz gone now too?
Yeah.
Schultz is gone now too. I think they've just lost in an offensive league. They've lost too many offensive weapons. And clearly, I don't think Dak's good enough to overcome that. I thought we really saw a lot of Dak's limitations last year. And again, I just don't like McCarthy being that active in the offense. McCarthy's the CEO. I don't want McCarthy making X's and O's schematic decisions anymore. I take the Giants out also as well. Same reasons as you. I don't have much more to add. I have the Lions in and winning their division also. I love the Lions. Again, in an NFC that's not well quarterbacked, they'll go into most of their NFC matchups with the best quarterback in Jared Goff. They have an elite offensive line. Like, it was ranked top three in the NFL. In an era where offensive line play is starting to be like, they should have a strong run game to help Goff, and they are just loaded with offensive weapons. So I love the Lions. I like the Lions to maybe even make an NFC championship appearance. Yeah, I do.
I want to see Dan Campbell coaching in a playoff game before.
I understand that. There's so many things I don't like about most of the teams in the NFC. Now, I debated on taking them out. I'll keep the Vikings in. I like Brian Flores. The defense is bad. They're not going to be nearly as good. They will not win the division. They're not going to win all the one-score games that they did last year. But at the end of the day, in the NFC, bad quarterbacked. Give me O'Connell I like. Give me a veteran in Kirk Cousins. Elite offensive weapon in Justin Jefferson. I don't want to hear that they're losing Dalvin Cook. It's a running back. You can replace that. Alexander Mattison is a fine backup. So, doesn't bother me. And then the easy one. The Buccaneers are out, but I have the Saints in. I have the Saints winning the division. It's a bad division. They have so much veteran presence. A still decent defense. I don't love Dennis Allen, but again, for the same reasons that I'm keeping the Vikings in, I have the Saints winning the division because they will go into most of their NFC conference matchups with the better quarterback significantly with Derek Carr over whoever else they play.
Soft.
So I have the Seahawks and Niners both staying in the playoffs, which means I have three teams from the NFC West getting in. I know that's hard, but they'll be able to both get two wins automatically on their schedule because the Cardinals will be the doormat of the entire league. So, yeah, that's how I have it. And by the way, I like your Carolina one. When I was going through this, I crossed out and then erased and re-put back in teams. I had Carolina in till the very last moment. And I think the Panthers will be fighting for a playoff spot all the way till the very end of the season. I like Frank Reich. Good run game. They have the personnel on defense. And as long as they keep Bryce Young healthy and upright, all the reports from camp is the kid seems pretty much ready to play right away. So
actually, I did forget that. I like Mike Frank Reich.
Yeah. So, yeah. What are you going to say for pushback here?
Saints are soft. Derek Carr's soft. Too much drama.
Drama? What drama has there been?
Michael Thomas.
Okay,
Kamara.
That's fine. That's fine.
Sean Payton-ish.
Okay. I don't know, man.
And like
you got the better defense. I got a quarterback that's going to be significantly better than most of the NFC teams that they face.
He's so soft, though.
Oh, my gosh. If you were going to give me any reason why they're not going to, it's just because Dennis Allen may not be a head coach, really. But they got the dudes on defense still.
We'll see.
I think they got one more year before the cap hell really comes for them, and then they're done. But they get to be in the worst division. And by the way, they get to play the AFC South, I'm pretty sure.
Do they? I don't know their schedule.
So
I didn't look at the.
They
schedules.
Get an easy schedule.
I didn't look at that.
And they, you know, finished out of the playoffs last year, so they get a third place schedule, right? Yeah. Or a second place schedule. I forget if they finished second or third, but
no, I think Atlanta did.
Yeah, you're
Atlanta
right.
Atlanta was competing for a spot.
They were all competing, it seemed like, at one point for the NFC South.
I feel like Carolina.
And they will all be there again. They will shuffle back and forth, except for the Buccaneers.
I feel like Carolina.
Which, by the way, the NFC probably has the two worst teams in football in it.
Which one?
The NFC. I think the Cardinals and the Buccaneers are going to be the worst two teams in the NFL. So, anyway, to round it out, six new teams every year. I have the the Jets, Broncos, Steelers, Rams, Lions, and Saints as the six new. I take the Dolphins, Bills, Ravens, Cowboys, Giants, and Buccaneers out. You have who?
I think the Raiders could be the worst team.
The Raiders will be bad. I don't think they'll be the worst team.
I have, excuse me. Oh, I made it go away. So I have Steelers, Titans, and Patriots in the AFC replacing Ravens, Dolphins, and who was the other one?
Chargers.
Yeah, you took the Chargers. The very forgettable Chargers.
Yes.
And then I have Falcons, Lions, and Panthers.
I just don't get you and my brother on the Falcons. The defense is so bad.
So what?
Oh, my God. So whatever.
Who are they playing against in division? I guess Derek Carr, but like.
Bryce Young is going to line him up.
If he can throw it over those tall linemen. If he can get it over the linemen, maybe.
You are like I'm not even seeing it in the national media. I'm seeing nothing. No buzz on it. It's just you and Dan.
Remember all that buzz last year about the Seattle Seahawks?
You and my brother can really bond over this one, especially when he comes back on the show. It's you two against the world.
Remember all that buzz last year about the Jacksonville Jaguars? I don't.
There was some buzz.
Division winners.
Yeah, we were right on that, though. We got that. We were the first ones who said it.
It was back and forth. We jumped off the bandwagon, or we jumped off the boat, and we realized, oh, crap. It's a good boat.
kind of.
Who else? We knew the Broncos were going to win. Maybe not win the division, but contend for it. We knew that.
Yeah.
We knew that for a fact last year. And what happened?
I know. Well, that's what I said.
Russell Wilson showed up in a prom suit.
There's shockers every year, and that's why I got the Bills.
But God forbid we picked the Falcons.
But that's why I got the Bills out of it, the team that seemed to be trending down the most, at least the talented teams.
Falcons were trending up.
Whatever, dude. All right, with that, we'll move on. Bradley Beal was traded from the Washington Wizards to the Phoenix Suns. And, you know, I really love this deal. For the Phoenix Suns, like a lot. And I know people are like, well, the super team thing, that's not really how people are winning anymore. Didn't you watch what happened with Brooklyn? Did you watch what's going on with the Clippers and George and Leonard? And my pushback is this. First off, for the Brooklyn one, you decided to bring in three highly dramatic players and also three players that need the ball in their hands at all times, right? I mean, Durant, not quite as much, but Harden and Kyrie, they never play off ball. Like, they always have to have the ball in their hands.
None of them play defense either.
Yeah, none of them play defense either. In Phoenix, I get three well-rounded players. Durant doesn't always need the ball in his hands. He didn't have the ball in his hands all the time in Golden State. Devin Booker plays with the ball in his hands, but Devin Booker can catch and shoot. He can be a spot-up shooter. Booker also plays defense. And you have Bradley Beal, who, while he's played like a superstar, does not get the attention of a superstar because he's with the Washington Wizards. And yes, he plays with the ball in his hand, but he's the damn point guard, so he should play with the ball in his hand. So to me, it's just a better match. Beal plays defense, Durant plays defense, Booker plays defense. Right? They're well-rounded individuals, and you don't come with the same high level of drama. Booker is silent. Booker was dating a Kardashian, and yet he was still, like, out of the papers. Never really heard much about him other than, like, oh, Booker put up 30 points today. That's kind of hard to do.
Put up 30 points?
No, to date a Kardashian and not be and not be in the newspapers and like being talked about a lot.
30-point guys, they're a dime a dozen.
I mean, that's probably why it didn't work out with him and the Kardashian, because she was probably like, what's wrong with you? You gotta go have a meltdown publicly somewhere, you know? This isn't good for us. We need to be on the cover of, I don't know what, gossip magazine.
Vogue.
Vogue, thank you.
That's one I know.
Devin, you need to, like, maybe go knock up another chick so we can get a picture on Vogue about how we're having relationship problems.
You need to go OD in the brothel.
That's too far. Uncalled for,
you're
Jesse.
Right.
Uncalled.
Lamar Odom made him look bad.
Uncalled for, Jesse. But yeah, so Booker remained to be pretty non-dramatic, non-high maintenance, even though he was dating a Kardashian. Which, I mean, I don't know, man. We might have to come up with an award for that one, in my opinion. Just on a time that we're making fun of the NBA.
I never heard much about it. I think it was like, what was it, Chris Humphries? When he dated Kim? Other than their 25-day divorce or whatever it was.
Okay, but he wasn't, at least he wasn't an elite player, though.
I guess.
Whereas Booker is.
I guess.
So I like this. And then Kawhi, with the Clippers one, first off, it was only two players. It was Kawhi and George. But the thing,
not liking each other, right?
Oh, I don't know about that. But the thing with Kawhi is just weird and never healthy. And then also, they both...
He's an oddball.
It was the opposite of the Nets. Whereas all three, not all three, but particularly Harden and Kyrie had to play with the ball in their hands. But at least they would, like, they'd play with the ball in their hands, but they'd be the point guard, so they'd at least try and, like, facilitate offense. Whereas both Paul George and Kawhi, all they do is elevate themselves. They didn't elevate others. They're not, none of them are a point guard. None of them are elite facilitators of offense. None of them are great passers. That's not what they do. Whereas here, Booker does a little bit of both. Bradley Beal, being a point guard, does both. So the people who are trying to say the, oh, it's a super team, super teams aren't working right now, I think this one really has a chance to really work. I think right now they're the biggest threat to the Nuggets with this deal being done.
I feel like part of the reason the super team, I mean, is it really a super team? They used to just be, we got to get a big three.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what they mean by super team now?
Yeah, usually that's what you mean by, if you have three stars.
The problem with that mentality is like,
and obviously I mean, they can't be homegrown stars.
Like, I know the trend right now is like, from the players, it's like, oh, if I want a ring, I got to call another elite player and we're going to meet up in free agency and pick a team together.
Yeah.
Like what Kyrie and KD tried to do with New York. Everyone was saying it's going to be the Knicks, but it ended up being the Nets. And that seems to be the trend. Yeah, Paul George and Kawhi called each other. Let's go to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
play for the Clippers. But one, it's got to be the right guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that can play well together and
exactly.
then games that complement each other. But also, like, there's nothing wrong with the big three. I feel like part of the reason is all these elite players are getting max contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it back to the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
If you have a big three with three max contracts, well, who else is here? Nobody. What was it, last week? We said, like, listen, you need those front guys, but you need a bench.
Yeah.
You need a bench. In mm-hmm. some form or another, there needs to be a bench. Someone needs to be able to sit down for a minute
mm-hmm.
and not play. How long are these games? 48 minutes?
Yeah.
Weird time.
I mean, that's what burned out the Suns in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with a big three. Just you can't pay them all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be guys that work well together, that can work as in, like, they won't get in each other's faces, but also their game is a complement to one another.
Not just a complement to one another, with you speaking on role players and bench players, somebody there has to be able to elevate the non-elite guys too.
Sure. And usually that's a ball distributor.
Exactly. And that Kyrie and Harden were not really that.
No. And also they're extremely toxic human beings.
That too.
Who are very selfish about, you know, their game and their life.
Mm-hmm.
And like you look at that Celtics team. Mm-hmm. That 08 one. That big three.
Mm-hmm.
KG.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Pierce and Ray Allen. Three guys. I mean, I know Kevin Garnett had a big personality, maybe could be a little arrogant. But when it was game time, it was about basketball.
Mm.
It's about playing the game. Let's just win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Pierce, in kind of an oddball, I guess, now that ever since he retired, but he wanted to win. He wanted to win the game. That's what he wanted. Then you had Ray Allen, great three-point shooter, get the ball in his hands. But they weren't, none of them were selfish with the ball. They could all distribute it. None of them were huge personalities that overshadowed the others.
Mm.
None of them had the arrogance to say, I'm bigger than the team. Perfect match.
Mm.
It's not about like, oh, it's the super team, the big three is dead. No, it's just the league is in this interregnum period where all they care about is money, fame, and publicity.
Yes.
That's the problem. That's why it's not working.
Yeah. But do you think this will work in Phoenix? I think it has a real good chance to work. And here's the other reason too, right? So they still have a big three, which means the bench ain't great. But they have DeAndre Ayton. And I think what they're going to do is I think they'll actually trade Ayton and they'll be able to get some depth when they trade Ayton. Because he seems like the odd man out here now. So that's what I would do if I was them. You got the three elite players enough. Good complimentary ones, too. DeAndre, you're still really good, but we don't need your game that much now with Durant here and Booker and then throw in Beal. So I think they move him and they upgrade the role players on the bench.
I'm not going to pretend I know enough about basketball to say definitively about who should move where and what they should bring in, but like they definitely – bench is key for stuff like this. At some point, these players need to take a rest.
Let me ask you
that. You can't play
– Is this going to be – Brooklyn or the Clippers?
I guess maybe more of the Clippers.
I can't see it being the Clippers. The only one there who maybe gets hurt and is unreliable maybe is Durant. But at least you both have Booker and Beal who can pick up the slack and keep you afloat.
Well, I don't want to say the Nets because like...
Yeah, I don't think anyone thinks it's going to be the Nets.
I don't think. I mean, I know there's a toxic man in the middle there in KD, and he was part of that toxicity. But we kept saying, like, it was mostly Kyrie. Like, KD was almost behaving himself. Like, almost like it almost seemed like he was like the guy being like, I think you need to calm down.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But, like, you know, maybe with age he's learned something. But, like, as long as, you know, we saw he could at least behave somewhat in the Warriors. It's just, you know, it eventually... You know, being in the locker room with Draymond Green and just, you know, a couple of years of that, big personalities, you know, broke down, happened a while. But with, I mean, I guess Bradley Beal is a decent personality. He's outspoken, but like not as much as a Kyrie or a James Harden, not nearly as much. And then the other one who doesn't speak at all.
Yeah.
Like, also, they're getting rid of Chris Paul. Chris Paul doesn't win anything.
Yes.
So I don't think this will be, now... I guess depending on how much KD behaves. I don't see this being a toxic mess, not at least for a while. And yeah, I mean, if they can stay healthy, why not? Which like the big problem is KD, but he's also the toxic one.
Mm.
So I think they'll be fine. Do I consider them the favorite in the West?
No. Well, no, the Nuggets still have to be the favorite for sure.
But like, it's kind of looking like maybe a two-team race here.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it looks like it's going to come down to Suns and the Nuggets.
We'll see what the Mavericks maybe try to do this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where LeBron goes, because technically at least the league automatically makes them a contender.
Yes.
Whether they're good or not, they're just going to push them to the playoffs. Yeah, and it's, I guess we'll see what happens to that team Ja Morant's on.
Grizzlies.
So, you know, we'll see what happens to these other teams that are going through their own problems.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, as of right now, like, I don't think the Grizzlies will be all that great. I don't think so.
Because
you're dealing with your star being a massive personality issue. And it's like, yes. I don't know how you fix that other than him growing up, which is on his own terms.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Mavericks, like, you need to do something. You can't just go back with Kyrie and Luka Doncic. It's just not going to work.
No,
it's not going to work.
I can't see them running that back. That would be crazy.
But what do you do?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I think both Dallas and the Grizzlies are at least another 2 years away.
Do you call LeBron?
Somebody does. Probably Dallas.
Well, Kyrie's making that call already.
The Grizzlies, no way.
No.
But Dallas, maybe. But I don't know. But anyway, with that... We're going to take our final break before we get ready to finish up the show. Some college football talk, and then our Tommy and Darwin, as always. Stick with us, guys. And we are back, getting ready to finish things up here. You know, just like the hockey segment is the confused Dom. This is the one where Jesse doesn't have a lot of input on, but that's okay.
I'll be over here.
So let's talk some college football, right? We're going to quickly go through. So the SEC schedule came out for what it's going to be next year when Oklahoma and Texas join the conference. So I just want to quickly go through some things. Start with Texas. Sark continues to kill it in recruiting. I think they brought in like the third-ranked class last recruiting class. So Sark continues to be an elite recruiter. But he continues to not win enough at a high level. I mean, they're winning 8-9 games. Going into the SEC with the money in NIL that Texas has and the fact that it is a glamour program, and not to take anything away for how great a recruiter that Steve Sarkisian is, but Austin, Texas, and that Texas Longhorn football does recruit itself. You don't need to be an elite recruiter to get elite recruiting classes. They'll slip from 3 to probably 9 or 10. But at the end of the day, Sark doesn't win enough games. They're not winning enough for the amount of talent that they have. So if he has another subpar season again, I kind of feel like Texas is going to have to make a change. And you've at least like commented on, like, it's Austin, Texas. Like, you don't need an elite recruiter for this. I'd rather have a better coach and schematic guy, because I know that my college can at least recruit itself. And if I'm in Oklahoma, if I'm in Colorado, like, I need an elite recruiter. And maybe I'll have to deal with, I might put up with less good at some of the other stuff if I'm getting far more talented than my program ever usually gets. But that's not where Texas is. And Texas doesn't need the glamour coach. And if Sark's not going to win more games and get this stuff done, then they're going to have to move on here at some point. But that's the first one on that. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, at least, because we've talked about, like, glamour program, if you recruit itself, like, you know, you don't need the superstar coach.
Well, I mean, the coach's job is to get the players to do their best to win games, and if he's not doing that, well,
I mean, they win, they have a winning record, it's just they don't win at nearly the level that they should be winning at.
Well, coaches get fired that make championships.
I know,
but it's just there's a level of, like, There's an expectation in what you achieve. And it's like, all right, we made the playoffs, but the expectation was to win a couple of playoff games, maybe even make a championship. If you're not doing that, well, then...
And to make it an NFL comp, if Sean McDermott and the Bills don't win the division, they win 9 games, but they still at least make a wild card and make the playoffs, they win one playoff game, and then they lose again, especially if it's kind of embarrassing, like the Bengals game. Like, don't you think McDermott would get canned?
Yeah.
Exactly.
We thought maybe he could get fired this past offseason.
We thought there was a small chance just because of how bad that game went. I didn't really think it could happen.
We weren't betting on it. We thought maybe he could.
But to me, for Sean McDermott, it's almost AFC championship or bust.
Well.
Appearance. If he loses to the Chiefs in a close game, they're not going to fire him. But to me, I think it's at that point in Buffalo, it has to be an AFC championship appearance. Or a loss to the Chiefs.
I don't know if I believe they have the potential to do that this year.
I just said they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah. But, you know, if you don't, have they even made an AFC championship game in this entire?
Yeah, they did.
Did they?
Yeah, the first loss to the Chiefs, I believe, was an AFC championship game.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But, like, you have been a contender. You've been one of the favorites. And to not, maybe only make one AFC championship game, not make any Super Bowls, like, that is that disappointment.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we won a bunch of divisions. Like, you know, we beat the Patriots, which I'm sure means a lot to them. Mm-hmm. We've been contenders. We're putting up elite numbers. But, like, you're not actually going over the top when you're expected to. So, like, eventually, like, yeah. All right, there's been success. We're making the playoffs every year. We're winning division every year. But that's not the expectation anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not about divisions anymore. It's about rings. It's about championships. Mm-hmm. So... division's not enough.
Yeah.
He can get fired.
And the other thing for Sark is he took this job over January of 2021, so he'll start this season. This is the season where I think the excuses have to go out the window. You've been here long enough now that it's your staff. A lot of these players have got to be started to be at least part of your first recruiting class, which you've recruited at an elite level since the moment you've got there. So we know you have the personnel, as far as talent-wise, and also it's starting to be strictly your own personnel, not even the previous coaches and regime's personnel. So to me, this is the year for Sark where the excuses go out the window, and he's got to win like 10 games. And he's not even in the SEC yet, so he really should be winning 10 games, because if you can't win 10 games or more and probably win the Big 12 or at least maybe acceptable a loss in a championship game to Oklahoma for it, then the fact that I think that you're going to go to the SEC and go play with Georgia and Alabama and Florida and LSU, Like, come on. I don't see that happening then. So that's how I feel with Sark. We move on to the rest of the SEC. The SEC is pulled away from everyone. The Big Ten is the closest. You bring in USC and UCLA. That's going to be so big. They had to do it. As much as I don't like change, Pac-12 sucks. But the SEC is pulled away. And I'll talk about my LSU Tigers, Brian Kelly. They have a returning quarterback in Jaden Daniels, whereas Georgia does not have their quarterback returning. Alabama doesn't have their quarterback returning. We've talked about how Saban's been under siege in a way he's never been before. So he's getting more talent taken away from him in the recruiting classes. Brian Kelly has knocked it out of the park in the recruiting. The regime before Brian Kelly knocked it out of the park in recruiting. They just were a disorganized staff who didn't know what they were doing. So Kelly came in with, the cupboard stocked to the brim. Get some of his own guys in there. They've killed it in the transfer portal. Right now, LSU is my pick to win the national championship, even in just Brian Kelly's second year. Because as much as the talent matters, it is, as it leans offense, it is far more a quarterback-driven sport in college football than it used to be, similar to the NFL. LSU has the talent to match the Georgias and the Bamas. A lot of Georgia's talent has left. A lot of Bama's talent has left. And as we said, they'll be on new quarterbacks. LSU gets to hit the ground running with all that talent and an established multi-year starting high-level NFL prospect quarterback. So to me, even in just Brian Kelly's second year, I think LSU is the most poised to win a national championship. Now, there is a flip side to this, though. Because it's only his second year, and because they've done some of these things in the transfer portal, they probably don't quite have the depth of talent as a Georgia and Alabama. It's just at the high level in the starting position, they have just as much talent. So if they do get plagued by injuries, they probably won't be able to be overcoming it the same way a Georgia or a Bama can. But if they can stay healthy, I think they are poised to Justin Kelly's second year win a national championship.
I don't know.
But so, and it's, things are just getting so hard now in the SEC. You got Kiffin. I mean, dude, it's so funny. I don't know how much longer Jimbo Fisher can hold on. There were reports that last year in the Texas A&M locker room, they were smoking weed during the game. Like, it's just a mess over there in College Station. The payout, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I had a rant about it last year. But the buyout, if the Aggies tried to move on from Jimbo Fisher, is so absurd.
Is that the one they hired private investigators
yes.
to try and find something to fire over?
Yes, yes, it's that one.
Hilarious.
It's so funny. It's a mess over there in College Station. Which is more reason why Sark needs to win.
What did you say, Texas A&M?
Yeah. Where it's like, Sark, you should have the monopoly over the state of Texas right now.
Was it Texas Agricultural and technological.
I forget.
Oh yeah, it's A&M.
Yes, A&M.
Agricultural and manufacturing.
Mechanic or manufacturing? I forget. It might have been manufacturing, but yeah. So, you throw in Texas into this, who's recruiting at a high level. Man, I don't know how much longer Nick Saban has, and I don't mean like they're not going to be good. They'll still be good all the way till the end. They'll still be competing for national championships. But he's in his 70s. The game is changing. It's becoming harder and harder to keep kids because of the transfer portal. If kids aren't playing right away, a lot of them will try and go to another program. And he just doesn't have the monopoly over the recruiting in the SEC the way he used to, because you have Brian Kelly and you got Kirby and Florida's always great. And you have the glamour of Texas moving into the SEC as well. And we've talked about how Bama doesn't actually have the NIL money that Georgia and LSU does. So I just think he's going to face so much more. It's just going to be so much harder for him. And it's going to be so much more of a headache for someone like Nick, who's such a control freak. I think we're seeing the final days of Saban. I think he's got 3, max 4 more years.
We've talked about that a couple times.
Yes. And it's not getting easier.
Yeah. So, everyone's got to
Great
the Piper eventually.
And his great friend, his friend enemy, I don't know what you call that. Someone who's a friend and an enemy.
Frenemy?
Frenemy. Lane Kiffin. who did a great job at Ole Miss, now then leaves Ole Miss and goes to, I mean, boy, I hope I'm not mistaken in this. Maybe he didn't leave and I'm being stupid. I'm pretty sure he took the Auburn job, though.
Hmm. I mean, there comes a time. Things change. Mm-hmm. Things progress, whether that's good or bad. But things just change. And, you know, you got to keep up with it if you can't. It's just everyone has to pay.
Oh, yeah. I'm dumb. I forgot. Everyone thought he was going to take the job, but he didn't take the job. Lane Kiffin is still at Ole Miss.
Mm.
But also, you have the Tennessee Volunteers, who have had a very good season as well.
What a terrible team name.
The Volunteers?
Yes.
I don't.
That sounds like your team is a bunch of randos that suck.
I know that there's some sort of historical thing on this.
I'm sure someone volunteered for something at one point in Tennessee.
Mm. But I forget who took the Auburn job now. But anyway,
I don't remember who volunteered.
But even just having Texas and Sark move into the conference. Oh, it was Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze took the Auburn job. That's right. Which is another, like, Hugh Freeze will recruit. Hugh Freeze did amazing things at everywhere he's coached. So
Hugh.
So I just, like, it's just so much harder now. And, like, you don't get a day off.
Yeah.
At all. Because now there's two recruiting periods where there used to be one. Like, college football as a head coach was always a grind. But it's gotten even worse now because of they've now have two recruiting periods. They just, these guys never get a day off. I mean, you hear these stories. I mean, they basically go into the facilities at like 5 or 6 a.m. There's a story, like, Nick was FaceTiming in his office at 7 a.m. when his kids woke up just to, like, see them for the day. And FaceTiming them again when they went to bed.
That's hilarious.
There's a story about not even a head coach, literally just a coordinator who's part of the recruiting staff too, took a week off. He was at his bachelor party. He's about to get married, right, in a few days. He's at his bachelor party, and a 5-star recruit calls him, and he has to leave his bachelor party for 40, 45 minutes to talk to the recruit. Like, even when you have a time off, you don't have time off.
Sports.
But college is another. I'm telling you, college football is another level with the recruiting stuff. There's no other sport like, because almost your entire roster almost changes every year.
There is an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
How old is Saban?
He's in his 70s.
He looks great.
Hell, he looks amazing.
He looks fantastic.
He does look amazing.
And he's looked this way for a little while. For as long as he looks the same when he was with the Dolphins. And it raises a question. How does he do it? Yeah, a job that stressful, that ages you. Being that busy ages you.
Nick Saban is 71.
Like, what is he?
Well, he was on Easy Street for about 5 to 6 years.
What do they sell there? Sorry. Sorry.
But I'm just saying, like, he had gotten to Bama to a point where it was kind of in cruise mode for a while.
I suppose that could be it.
But now, he, like, with the way that things have changed, the NIL, and Nick's a victim of his own success. In a sense that he ran out so many coaches and forced so many of these schools to spend so much money on facilities and then getting better coaches that now he's in a system over the last 2-3 years where he's just facing competition like he's never faced before.
Hmm. Let's see if he ages.
I think he will.
Over these next few years.
I mean,
because if he doesn't, I'm going to ask some serious questions about what is he eating? Who is he hanging out with? What is he taking?
Who did he sell his soul to?
Exactly. Like, what spells is he casting? Who is he sacrificing?
That's a fair point.
Yes.
Does anyone know where his kids are?
I have never seen them. Maybe he hasn't in person either.
But he's facing it on all sides the way he never has. Brian Kelly in his first year at LSU already beat them, and that was when he had Bryce Young still.
Did he really leave his bachelor party for 45 minutes to talk to a recruit, or was he casting a spell?
Not Nick Saban, but yes, I get what you're saying. That story comes from, I believe it was Auburn.
Oh.
Yeah. But, like, you're never off. You never are. You always have to be on.
I mean,
that wasn't even the head coach either.
If you look at, like, I heard, like, I don't know if it's true. I don't know him personally, but I heard Elon Musk. He said, like, he gets up at, like, 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he sleeps, like, only, like, 4 or 5 hours a night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that. You're supposed to get 8. That eventually will just slow you down and run you out. Like, it's got to be a lot of cocaine. Like, I know, like all these people, listen, say what you want. Everyone who's rich, famous, powerful, they all do coke.
A lot of them, at least.
To keep them going.
Yes.
Because everything is high intensity. Everyone is a huge personality. They have to do things. It doesn't always have to be coke. But they all do things. Some. All
right, listen. I have been around the facilities of one of the power programs at LSU. I will neither confirm nor deny your allegations of cocaine.
I'm not saying Nick Saban does cocaine. That can age you. And he's not doing that.
Yeah.
So, like, what is his secret? What is his elixir? I don't know.
Like I said, the thing is, he did have this on cruise control for like 5 to 6 years. Maybe even longer.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe.
So, like, it hasn't been this hard the whole time.
He's just been kicking
ass.
My
point now is now at 69-70, it's suddenly gotten this hard.
Mm.
And that's why it's the difference. That's why I think we're seeing the final days. I think he's got 3 or 4 more years.
Okay.
I would bet 3. But we'll see. Could be wrong.
Maybe in that time he'll finally get 3 or 4 wrinkles. Because good Lord, he doesn't age.
I know.
Like Bill aged.
Yes.
He looks different than when was the start of the dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
But like Nick Saban does not.
No, I know.
And they're both in their 70s.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Going forward, like I said, Sark might be the coach who, I don't know if I want to say hot seat, because I feel like Texas is keeping it very close to the best, where they're very much not making it public about anything. And I think they intentionally are not making it public because the last thing they really want to do is fire Sark, because you don't want to have to move from the Big 12 to the SEC searching for a new coach and then throw in the fact that Sark is recruited so high that they'll do everything they can to shut down any rumors because they don't want that hurting the recruiting classes. But I can't imagine a world where Sark gets another year if they only win like 8 games with the way that they've recruited, the talent that they have, and still being in the Big 12. I don't see it.
Maybe they'll be like, listen, you're great. Your recruiting is great. The kids like you, whatever. You need to fire all your personnel, though. Something like that. Like
the staff?
Yeah, you need to bring in new people because maybe. They're not coaching enough.
Maybe that's the way he'd get one more year.
Because it's kind of like...
I just feel like Sark has the most to prove of almost anyone in the country.
Because it's kind of like Urban Meyer was like the gold standard of recruiting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't coach. We figured that out. He can't coach. But would you fire Urban Meyer?
No. But Sark isn't Urban, whereas like everyone knew Meyer at least was the CEO, whereas Sark was the offensive guru for a lot of Saban's team in Alabama. Like Sark play calling, Sark has his hands on this stuff.
Mm.
And he's intelligent and he's smart. Maybe you could make the argument that because he's too invested, though, they miss on the smaller details.
Yeah.
Texas has this weird thing. Now they have two big problems, and it's one of them is something that's usually a problem in glamour programs where they don't seem to have the same toughness. But the other thing is they, and maybe the toughness goes into the second one, but I think it's other stuff too. They don't win a lot of these really close down to the wire, especially wild shootouts. They come up on the losing end a lot, which is weird from an offensive coach, especially when they get into these big shootouts. Like you need to start winning some of these, Steve. And maybe you could make the argument because he's too invested every day, X's and O's, play calling and stuff, that maybe the larger sort of details get missed. The stuff that Bill's the master at, you know?
Yeah.
Like practicing game situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you too much on his plate, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a Josh McDaniels situation. I'm so good at this, but, you know, actually leading them, being the head guy, maybe just not quite his forte.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe you'd have to go to him and tell him, as you said, either fire your staff or find a way to remove yourself from the nitty gritty and be able to take a bit more of a CEO role.
Yeah.
I guess those are the ways that I could see him getting another year if they once again don't play up to the potential that they need to.
Mm.
But With that, though, let's get ready to finish things up. This is you all the way here now. Tommy?
Okay. He hung out with his kids.
I know.
He's being a dad.
We're getting near the end.
No, I know. It's just like, when is there going to be a slow news week where we're just like, well, we got to give the Tom Brady send-off. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's hanging out with his kids. He's being a dad. That's kind of what he did this week. You know, he made that.
Probably call. We got to wait till about week 8 when we know that he can't come back and play.
Maybe he did that thing where he's like, oh, my son's growing up too fast. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, they do that.
That do be happening.
He's acting like a father.
Yeah.
It's nice. Nice. Good for him. Nice to see.
All right. So with that.
We didn't know if Tom Brady was capable of real emotions other than yelling, let's go. But apparently he can.
Apparently he's not a robot, at least anymore. All right.
Darwin?
Actually, before we do that, who do you think discovered whatever magic it is? Do you think it was Saban first and then Tom found out, or Tom and then told Nick?
Well, Tom...
I know they've talked. Come on, Saban and Bill are friends.
I'm
sure Saban's been around the Pats practice. Actually, I know Saban's been around the Pats practice before.
No, yeah, Bill and him are tight. Bill and Saban are tight. That's a good question because Tom was not, you know, at some point, I don't know when exactly, but the TB12 method came along when he brought in Alex Guerrero and all about pliability, change his avocado ice cream, like I can't eat strawberries or whatever, that type of stuff. I don't know exactly when that started. But I think it started first. Mm. I'm going to go with Tom Brady first.
Okay.
But Nick Saban, again, he's looked the same for as long as I can remember. When was he with the Dolphins?
I don't know. It's a long time ago.
It was a bit ago.
Yeah.
So I
feel like Saban hit like 45 and then it just stopped.
Yeah. So maybe it is Saban.
Maybe.
How like in... Is he like in a cult? You know, does he like know the like elite people and
probably? He's probably the richest person in the state of Alabama
because they don't age. You know, like Tom Cruise has looked the same since before I was born. You know, those type of things.
Yeah,
like does he know their beauty
probably.
Secrets?
Probably.
I mean, you know, you're rich. You automatically you look younger. Mm. You just wipe some money on your face and boom, gone. I don't know how they do it
for sure.
You're right. I can't say what I actually think contributes to it because this is a sports show.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Get the video ready.
That's all.
Okay. All right. Drum roll, please, Jesse.
This week's Darwin Award winner is Jack Jones. I mean, you thought you saw that one coming.
It had to be.
Local. We all know about it. And what is it with athletes recently and just bringing firearms and showing off their firearms to places maybe they shouldn't be. To be honest, although maybe not because he's a multi-time defender, but this looks worse than Ja Morant in the club. You brought it, tried to bring it on the plane. I think it was two of them, too. He had two trying to go on a plane. Where are you trying to go with those, man? Like, I don't even get it. Like, on a plane? Like, if you really need to bring your weapons wherever you're going to another part of the country, just drive. Just drive. Probably shouldn't do that either. Well, I don't know what this obsession is. I need to bring my gun with me.
Or hire security.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, don't go on planes with firearms.
Have you seen...
There's an obvious rule that you're not supposed to do that.
I know.
There's a thing 9/11 happened. It's pretty bad. Don't bring weapons on planes.
Has he come up with like an official statement?
I mean,
did he forget they were in his bag? Like,
I've not heard that. His lawyer, you know, came out the other day and it was like, stop treating him like he's a thug and like portraying him as a thug. And it's like,
I'm not even know if I'm portraying him as a thug. I'm just portraying
portraying him like that.
I'm portraying him as an idiot.
I don't know if he's made any statement, but his lawyer is.
How many different times
card.
Do you check your bag when you're about to fly? When you're trying to pack? Don't you all the time throughout the week be like, I wonder if I packed this or
that? I check 1,000 times.
Exactly. Even if I pack last minute too. Like I can pack the night before, but the whole time when I'm done, the whole morning before I leave, I'm constantly just like, did I forget to pack that? And like look and check. I think I check for my pills or my phone like 4 or 5 different times. Like, how did he not? They're like, there's a gun. There's two guns.
There's a gun in this
in
bag.
My bag. Probably shouldn't bring this on the plane.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just can't even fathom it.
I don't know if they were his or like that whole like, oh, like, you know, that Cat Williams thing when he got arrested for he had a gun in his bag.
Oh, really?
At the airport. And he had a whole joke about it. He's like, of course that wasn't my gun. You think I'm going to bring my own gun on an airplane? It's like, I guess. I also would not bring my own gun on an airplane, but I certainly would not bring someone else's gun on the airplane. Why do you have that? Why would you have someone else's gun? Again, I don't know about Jack Jones. I don't know who that belonged to. There's a trend here where they somehow never belong to the player. Now, maybe that's just...
Which doesn't make it better. I don't know why they think it makes it better. It doesn't.
Well, here's the thing. They're clearly not paying attention to each other. Like, how many times have this happened? It's not a frequent thing. It's not a very, like, oh, it's... They're always getting arrested for guns. No, sometimes it's like, you know, they were drunk driving, possession of narcotics, what have you. But the firearm thing, it just pops up every now and again. And no one learns from someone else. No one learned from Plaxico Burr shooting himself in the leg in the club. No one learned from John Morant, whatever the hell he was doing in that car with that gun. Like, and Jack Jones is like, you know what? I'm not going to put it on Instagram. I'm going to put it on the plane. No. No.
That's so wild.
Like, why do you need to bring that everywhere?
We're pro-gun people, too, and we're still just...
But I know
eviscerating
people
for their usage and imaging of guns.
You know what comes with usually being pro-gun is a knowledge...
Knowing the rules?
Yes, of knowledge of where you should and shouldn't bring that gun and how to use it.
It's amazing.
I've never seen a pro-2A person shoot themselves in the leg in the club.
No.
Never happened. Never seen it.
No.
I've never seen a pro-2A just toting it on social or Instagram Live or whatever.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
No.
I've seen like, oh, they're at the range. They have a picture.
Yeah, I've seen that. We're at the shooting range.
But you know what? They're being safe. They're at the range, pointing it downrange.
This has got to be one of the all-timers, right? This is up there.
They're not normally bringing them on planes.
Like, well, I also just mean like of all Darwins we've ever handed out. Like, this is up there.
Well, yeah, sure. Because like even when, I mean, I think John Morant's the only firearm one.
Yeah.
Twice, but only firearm one.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, like, I'd rather see him in the club.
Did we give what was his name, Damonte or Damian Arante, that corner for the Raiders?
Oh yeah,
when he put that on Instagram Live talking about he was going to kill.
He did do that.
Yeah, I think we gave him a Darwin for that. So this is the third firearm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess third individual.
Yes, third individual. But anyway, congratulations to Jack Jones, bringing firearms on airplanes. Doing a DMX impression. You know he got arrested once for bringing cocaine on a plane?
That's better.
No, it is. It's significantly better.
That's a
better.
Less
I could see you
jail
at least,
time.
I also could see you at least like misplacing your cocaine in your bag. It's not as big as a firearm.
I also can see you being like, I need to bring my cocaine on the airplane.
That's,
you don't.
That too.
But I can see you thinking it.
Yeah, I get that too. All right. With that has been in for Slow Your Roll this week. And have a great rest of your week, ladies and gentlemen.